This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/beherenow.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Grasso with the Indie Spirituals Podcast. I wanted to record this quick message letting people know that I'm going to be away for roughly a month to 2 months tops doing promotion for my brand new book, Everything Mind, which is coming out October 1st and published by Sounds True. And thank you, Sounds True, for that. But in my absence, I want to run some older interviews that I did in 2014. These are a series of what I was calling Indie Spirituals Skype sessions that I was doing on my website, theindiespirituals.com. These are a series of video interviews that I had done, which I have transferred into audio format. So apologies that the quality is not exactly up to par. However, it's definitely listenable, and the people I have as guests, I think, are worthy of your time. I hope, at least after you listen to them, that you feel they are. So anyways, I just want to say a quick hello, and again, my apologies for my absence over the next month to 2 months, but in that time, I sincerely hope you enjoy these interviews. Thank you very much. Hey everyone, this is Chris Grasso with the Indie Spiritualist Podcast. My guest today needs no introduction, but I'm still going to go ahead and give him one anyways. Don Miguel Ruiz is a renowned spiritual teacher and internationally best-selling author. He has spent the past 3 decades guiding students to personal freedom through his profound insights regarding the nature of human reality. His landmark best-selling book, The Four Agreements, contains practical steps for long-term personal transformation and has been read by millions around the world. Don Miguel is also the author of The Mastery of Love, The Voice of Knowledge, Prayers, and the New York Times bestseller, The Fifth Agreement, a collaboration with his son, Don Jose Ruiz. Each of his books are international bestsellers. The wisdom Don Miguel has brought to the world has earned him respect around the globe. He has dedicated his life to sharing his message through practical concepts in order to promote transformation and ultimately change lives for the better. Visit him at www.miguelruiz.com. Don Miguel, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be in your show, and I really enjoy this beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. Thank you. You have an incredible new book out called The Toltec Art of Life and Death. But before we got into that, I wanted to go back a little bit and actually begin with prior to you becoming a world-renowned spiritual teacher, you'd practiced neurosurgery. But you eventually came to the conclusion, in your words, that what needed to be healed was not only the physical brain, but the human mind itself. And I would love for you to elaborate on that for our listeners.
Well, something that I discovered at that time, and it was very important for me, is to see how science and technology was growing extremely fast. And of course, that wasn't the end of the 80s. And that accelerates so much until, well, we can see what the technology did this time. You know, whatever happened in any place on the world is done in a few seconds. It's amazing all what technology did. But I noticed at that time that psychology was way behind, way behind. And I really wanted to understand why that was happening. So the way to do it is by going back to my legacy, going back to my parents, my grandfather, and relearn something that I let go when I was a teenager when I decided to study medicine. But anyway, I started having apprentices and taking to do power journeys and ancient sites. And I explored their mind for a little more than 10 years. And the result was the four agreements. Mm. We can say that these four agreements is really psychology, but not like a test, not like describing what is ego, superego, etc., but just giving a few rules that have the power to transform the way we live our life. Because this is applying psychology, not just studying psychology, and help everybody to help themselves, to really make a big change in their life.
Mm.
Because I discovered that the mind is the same in every single human. It's the same in the entire humanity. What changes structure, we can say, events, language, etc. But the conflict that exists in one human mind is the same conflict that exists in the entire humanity. And for millennia, we used to believe that the conflict was between good and bad. When good and bad is just the result of the real conflict. And the real conflict is between the truth and lies.
Mm.
And the whole drama is in this conflict. And everybody faces the conflict in a different way. But everybody in their everyday life, they face that conflict because it feels that it's inside of us. Well, what I saw is that the all the lies is just a reflection, a distortion of the truth.
Mm.
That the truth exists all the time. The truth exists long before humanity. It will exist long after humanity. The truth just exists. Whatever it is.
Mm.
On the other hand, the lies only exist because we believe in those lies. We give life to those lies. And those lies, in certain time, get corrupt and create superstitions.
Mm.
And we defend the superstitions, which means we become fanatics. And we are defending the superstitions and as more distorted the truth, as most corrupt is a lie, then the way that we act defending those lies is what becomes the injustice, the violence, even war. Then you see something that is happening all the time. It happened thousands of years ago, as it's happening right now. Then once that we understand that, the next step was is explore the core, why that happened.
Mm.
And what I find out is that the whole point is because we learn to love the way everybody else loves.
Mm.
Which means that we love with conditions. And this is what caused all the problems. And this also what corrupt all those lies and create those superstitions. Anyway, conditional love, that means that I love you if you let me control you.
Hmm.
If you do whatever I want you to do, then I love you. If not, then I will reject you and I will punish you for not being what I want you to be. And this is how we love everybody.
Hmm.
And it's also how everybody loves us. They love us with conditions. If we are what they want us to be, then they accept us. If not, they reject us.
Hmm.
And that's the reason why we try to please everybody around. And it's easy to understand why it's so important, the opinion and the judgments of everybody around. And we try to please everybody. We try to be what they want us to be. But the worst part is that we learn to love ourselves exactly the same way.
Mm.
We love ourselves with conditions. If I not become what I wish to be, what everybody wants me to be, then I will reject myself. Mm. And this is how we create all those limitations. Without the awareness that we create all those superstitions and all those limitations, and in our self-rejection, we believe that we're not good enough, that we're not strong enough, that we're not intelligent enough.
Mm.
And many times we don't even try it any longer. Then we can see the entire trauma. When we understand the trauma in one human, we also can understand the trauma in the entire humanity. Because we find out that we live in a story that we create.
Right.
Then we are the artists who create the story of our life. And, you know, the word Toltec means artist.
Mm.
It means artist in any language. It's artist when we're talking about the Toltec wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of the artist.
Right.
And in this new book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, is the wisdom of the artist about life and death.
Hmm.
And this is because in this book, we are facing that conflict, the conflict that exists in every human being.
Right. Right.
Then in my case, is the story of Miguel. But whoever reads the book, they can see that it's exactly the same, like the story of whoever is reading the book.
Right.
Because all of us, we are facing exactly the same problem, the same conflict. But when they see how, in that story, I was facing this conflict, they also can see how they can face the conflict in their life. Because by reading this book, if they're really comparing that story with the story that they created, with the life that they're living right now.
Right.
And we can see that the tool that I was using in order to face all the superstitions and my own fanaticism is the truth.
So,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And so let's talk about this. The name of the book, The Toltec Art of Life and Death, it's powerful. You know, to give readers just a quick overview, in 2002, you suffered a near-fatal heart attack that left you in a coma for 9 weeks. And during that period, as you lay suspended in a dream state between life and death, you traveled on this mystical journey of self-discovery, your spirit encountering the people, events, and ideas that shaped you and your life's work. And this is the first time you're sharing this story and journey and the lessons you learned. And again, it's just very powerful. So what I wanted to do was, before we get into the story itself, I wanted to actually share a brief quote from something you wrote in the preface, because I think it will help lay the groundwork for the rest of our conversation about the book. And you wrote, "While we may seem different, you are an essential part of the dream of humanity, as I am. You have searched for truth through symbols, as have I. You are knowledge seeking to redeem itself, as I was. You are your own savior, and you are pure potential in action. God represents the truth of you, and the truth will set you free." And me personally, I found that, you know, very beautiful. I was hearing elements of Buddhism and Vedanta and mystic Christianity, all of these great wisdom traditions in your beautiful words. And to me, that was exemplifying the unity of, again, what these great wisdom traditions all point towards. So I would love for you, if you don't mind, to break that down a little bit, to talk about, you know, how, even though it seems that we're different, you know, we're essentially part of the same dream of humanity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, as you can see, everybody creates their own story.
Right.
And in every story, there's always a conflict. Mm. There's all the villain, and is the hero.
Right. Yes.
Of course, the hero is the main character of the story. In my case, it's Miguel. But if somebody else is whoever name they have, they are the hero, and they have the conflict. And we are expecting that someone comes and save us or help us, etc., etc. Well, we are our own savior because this is our story that we create, and we create every character in that story. Mm. We create all the rules in that story, of course, with the help of the people around us. And every single human, they live in their story. They have their point of view, and they are the hero in their story, as you are the hero in your story. Mm. Then in your story, you can see that many times the hero is impotent. He cannot do so many things and becomes a victim. And it's a victim from his own creation. It's a victim from his beliefs or her beliefs. It's a victim from the superstitions that they believe. And it's a victim for the fanatism that they use in order to defend all those lives. And all those lives, obviously, they are the villains. And I think it's important to clarify that in our story, my story, your story, everybody else's story, all the secondary characters, they're just an extension of your main character. Because the whole story is you. The whole dream of your life is yours. Mm. It's your particular point of view, and the whole story is about you. Then in my story, it's with my mother, my ancestors, my children, etc., etc., and all the events that are happening in that story. Mm. Well, every part of the story is really me. But it's the same to the 7 billion humans who are living their own story. Then, like, for example, in your story, you have parents, you have beloved, you may have children, friends, etc., etc. Well, the ones who live in your story is a reflection of the real one. That every secondary character of your story, they are based in reality. Because your parents really exist, your beloved exists, your friends exist. But the ones who live in your story, they're just what you believe about them. You create them. They're your creation. Mm. It's your own world. You create your own world. And in your world, you create all the problems, but you also solve the problems. You are the savior in your own world, mm. as everybody else is in their own story. Anyway, for this particular story, just a little before I went into coma, I had this conversation with my mother. Of course, my mother was very upset because my body was dying, and she didn't want me to die.
Right.
And she was upset and say, "Miguel, you don't have the right to die. Hmm. You cannot die before I do. It's not okay. And I will do whatever is in my power to stop you from dying." And of course, this sounds very absurd, but you know, that goes into my mind, into my story. Because when I went into coma, well, the story was about what I was talking with my mother, that she will do whatever to stop the process of my death. Anyway, as you can see, in the moment of death, it's like we see the whole story of our life in front of us in just a few moments.
Right.
And this is exactly what happened to me.
Wow.
I see the whole story of my life. But in this narrative, I focus the attention in those parts of my life who make a big change, that change the direction of my life.
Mm.
What I call the encounters with the truth, the significant memories of my life. It is when the truth arrives and destroys all those superstitions, all those lies and help me to be more free and have the clarity of my own creation. Mm. And that's what I mentioned in that story.
Right.
All those encounters with the truth.
Right.
And that's what make the story very interesting. Because yes. Every single human, they have encounters with the truth. But sometimes after the truth comes, it shakes the whole world. They do everything that is their power to get an equilibrium and to forget about the truth and keep living in their own life. They keep living the same way that they used to live before. So sometimes something traumatic happens that they cannot deny that happened. Mm-hmm. Like an accident, for example, near-death experience. When you're dying, you also find out that the whole story, it was completely irrelevant. That we would not make any difference, is that we was spending our time being worried for something that is not important, and getting upset for something that is completely irrelevant. Then, of course, the whole point of it changed completely. And we see the world in a completely different way.
Mm, right.
This is exactly what happened. And when I explain those encounters with the truth, we can see that when those superstitions disappear, the trust in myself grow. I feel more powerful and more calm also. And I understand everything better and better. And this is how we redeem our knowledge. Mm. This is how we change the rules of our life. And this is how we stop our fanatism.
Right. And
this is how we fight our own peace.
Right. And you talk about in the book something very important. You discuss transforming our beliefs. And you actually say in the book, transforming our belief structure is the most important kind of change we can make, and in many ways, the scariest. So let's talk about that. Why is this transformation so important, and why is it so scary?
Well, it is scary because everything that we don't know makes us feel fear.
Right, yeah.
Because we create our knowledge, and we create our own lives and our own superstitions, but we also have the desire to know, to understand. Mm. But when the truth is coming, all those beliefs, all those superstitions, they're completely afraid because they know that they will not survive an encounter with the truth.
Right.
Because they only live because we believe in those lies and those superstitions. You know, that reminds me a conversation that Apollo had with Zeus. And Apollo tells Zeus, well, you see, we, the gods, will live when the humans believe in us, but the day he will come, with the humans no longer believe in us, then we, the gods, will just disappear.
Mm.
And this is exactly the truth. Of course, we don't believe in Apollo or Zeus or any other god, but we believe in our anger. We believe in our jealousy. We have different kind of gods. And all of that really are secondary characters in our story.
Mm.
And this is what created all those superstitions, and they are the ones who are afraid of the truth. Because when we face that confrontation, that conflict that exists in our mind, we have the truth as the powerful weapon. And this is how we really can change our beliefs.
Hmm.
And when we have that awareness, we understand the reason why the injustice, why the violence,
right,
why the war.
Right.
And we can see that it's the same to the entire humanity. It's the same that happened in Egypt, Rome, Greece, and the different wars that exist in this planet Earth. And this keeps happening right now. And we can say that, yes, we humans, we are barbarians.
Sure.
We do the same things that we were doing long ago. And the reason is because we love with conditions.
Right.
That's what makes us barbarians.
Right.
That's what makes us be in creating injustice. That's what makes it violent. That's what even create war.
Right.
Create all those conflicts.
Mm.
If we understand that, then we can see that there is a solution. But the solution, we have to apply it to ourselves. Because only we can change our own creation. We can change our own world.
Right.
And this is exactly what I ask him wherever I go. Please help me to change the world.
Right.
Your world. The one that you create.
Right. Yeah, and you know, another point that that you make in the book that I think goes hand in hand with this what we're discussing, and it's something that I have struggled with in my own life, and many people that I speak to at various workshops, I know they either have struggled or are continuing to struggle with, and that is again something you address in the Toltec Art of Life and Death, is about loving ourselves, and you write. If each of us could love ourselves as we wish to be loved, then we wouldn't let our hunger for love make decisions for us. And, you know, I know it is out of this place of lack of love that, speaking personally, I was not a great person in the world. You know, I did not show up in a loving way towards others, in a compassionate way. And, you know, the old saying, hurt people hurt people. I think that could sum it up quite nicely. So how do we learn to love ourselves as we wish to be loved?
Well, that's exactly what we are doing here.
Yeah.
We use the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth will destroy the reasons why we don't love ourselves.
Mm.
Because we love ourselves with conditions. And we will find out that all those conditions that we use by loving ourselves will disappear when the truth arrives. Because it is not true that we are not good enough. It's not true that we cannot make it.
Mm.
It's not true that we're not powerful. But we believe that. And because we believe that, then we can say, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
We make it true, even that it's not true. Anyway, when you finally use the truth and you love yourself, you really find the real truth. And at least we can assure that there are two things that are real, that they are true.
Mm.
One is death, because we all will die sooner or later.
Right.
But we will die. It's a fact. A fact that even don't need to be proved, because we are seeing it all the time. Death exists. And the other is life. We all are alive. We cannot deny that life exists. It's a fact also. And everything else is not really a fact. The entire creation is just a mix between life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is just that. We can say that death is matter. The matter only moves, is a force moves matter. And only stop if a force stops matter. But matter cannot move itself. Matter has a beginning and has an end. And matter is reflecting the force that is moving matter. And the force that is moving matter is, of course, life. And life is just pure energy.
Mm.
And as we know, energy cannot be destroyed, only transformed. And it's transforming all the time. And the transformation is because it's moving matter in so many different ways, from the little quantums to all those galaxies.
Mm.
Everything is being moved by energy, by life. Now, matter reflects life, and the reflection of life is what becomes the mind. Specifically in humans, the reflection of life in the neurons.
Right.
It creates the human mind, which is the reflection of life. and in the human mind is where we create our own story. Then the first creation in our mind is the main character, is the one who perceives everything, and life to the main character will create the whole story. Mm-hmm. With all the secondary characters, a copy of all the events that are happening, then the mind is a copy of the reality. It is being distorted because the knowledge that we use in order to create the story of our mind. Mm-hmm. And we can say that a lie is a distortion of the truth. And a lie can be clean until we corrupt it. And the corruption of those lies is what creates a superstition. And we defend the superstition is what makes us fanatics. And now we can understand so clearly the human mind.
Right.
We can understand one human, we can understand the entire humanity.
Right.
Then once that we have that awareness, psychology now is at the same rhythm that science and technology. We just need to write the text to change whatever needs to be changed, but somebody else will do that. It's not me because I don't have that information and I really don't care to get that information. That will change so many things.
Right. Well, you know, and so you're talking about death, of course, and you know, we've discussed quite a bit about life, and the last thing I kind of wanted to discuss with you, and I guess what you just said segues very nicely into this, is mastering death, you know, and you discussed this in the book, but for those who have yet to read it, can you talk a bit about how can we master death and learn to live freely and fully here and now?
Well, it's very simple, because death is your creation. You are life, and you move your matter. Then your physical body is matter, and you live in your physical body. Then your physical body is your home. Then by mastering death, you love and respect your physical body. And in the reflection, you enjoy life. By enjoying life, you are mastering death. Because by being the creator, you give the shape. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, wow, yeah. Okay. So we need to become more aware of what we're creating, become better artists of our life, as the Toltec tradition would say.
Well, we can say that we create already the story in the one we're living.
Yes.
But when we have the awareness, we can change it. And if we want to change our own story, we will not try to change the secondary character.
Right.
It will not work.
Right.
The only way is to change the main character.
Yes.
Which is what we believe we are. And find out that we are not what we used to believe we are. That we are much, much better than what we believe we are.
Right. Right. Beautiful. The Sufi poet Rumi said something to the effect of, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself. It's not verbatim, but that's what I'm hearing you say. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Don Miguel, I can't thank you enough for your time. It was an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your wisdom and the wonderful presence you have brought into this world and the light you're shining. It is greatly appreciated.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.